You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky, Rhett back with you as we march towards the weekend. We've been talking so much about the playoffs, recapping games, previewing games, but boys, it's that time of year.
Yes, Buck, let's go.
I'm batting lead off in the mock draft. You are in the two hole. You have got one. I guarantee you you're already starting to plug away on it. But we've got one that we can digest today, and then you're up next week, man. You got yours next week.
Oh yeah, a lot of fun. I guess I need to start getting on that. You start kind of deliberating, kind of figure out who I can move around to fire up fan bases all over the place. Should be a lot of fun.
Yes, Rhett, will you save yours to the end? Rhett likes to just lay back in the weeds and wait until the very end, and slips his right underneath the teacher's door.
Yeah. Got you. Yeah, no, it's gonna be big. It's gonna be a big one this year. It has been coming a little bit sooner. I'm usually more of a draft week guy, but by popular demand, people need it a little bit moving ahead of time. So it's moving up a week. It's been moving up a week, a year, as Paths of the Draft has been moving back a week and a week a year. But we're gonna eventually align right there. It might just be the first episode of Paths of the Draft. Who knows?
Path to the Draft is on its way to being the day, starting and ending the day before the draft. I mean, we used to do that thing for like 8 weeks. It used to be like two months of Path to the Draft.
Now, by the way, it's like 2 weeks till the combine. So,
oh, I know.
Isn't that what it feels like?
It's going fast. All right, boys, you ready for this thing?
Yeah, let's go. Let's get.
I'm gonna rattle off the top 10 picks, and then we'll pick it apart and have some fun here. All right, here we go. The Chicago Bears. I have the Bears trading Justin Fields, taking Caleb Williams with the first pick. Bucky, your Carolina Tar Heels quarterback Drake May, have him going to Washington at number two. Adam Peters, new head coach coming, new general manager in place. A lot of times that's accompanied by a new quarterback. Very close there with him and Jaden Daniels. We'll get into that discussion after I get to these top 10. Jaden Daniels going three to the Patriots. Marvin Harrison Jr., who I compared to Larry Fitzgerald, goes to the Arizona Cardinals, falls in their lap at number four. The Chargers with a lot of options here, which we'll get into. I had him taking Rome Odunze, the wide receiver from Washington. Another wide receiver goes six. Malik Nabers to the Giants as they continue to search for some more speed. So we've got three quarterbacks followed by three wideouts. Then we get Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame, go on to Tennessee to try and help that anemic offensive line. The Falcons in their forever pursuit of pass rushers that they never seem to be able to nail down. They get Dallas Turner out of Alabama with the eighth pick, followed by another pass rusher, Jared Verse, out of Florida State to the Bears with their second pick. And then the 10th pick, it's the Jets. And I figure every mock draft will all be doing the same thing. We'll all take the tackles. We're all going to shake them up in a jar, and we'll just pull a different one out every time for the Jets, who feel like the most committed to a position in this draft, which is upgrading the offensive line. I had them taking Talisi Fuaga, one of my favorites, out of Oregon State with the 10th pick. So that's the top 10 right there. Buck, I'll give you the first crack at it here. What stands out to you?
Okay, so there's so many things that stand out, but I'm going to go with the premise that we've talked about late, where we've kind of talked about the four Ps, where we talked about the marquee positions and how they should be allocated in the draft. So see, three quarterbacks, three wide receivers, two edge rushers, and an offensive tackle. So in those P's, we talked about passers, pass catchers, pass rushers, and pass protectors. And in the top 10, you made sure that you checked off all the boxes when it came to the premium positions. The three quarterbacks and the three pass catchers are really interesting because we hear so much about teams talk about, I'm a line of scrimmage team, but we don't see any line of scrimmage players come off in the seventh overall pick, and it's Joe Alt from Notre Dame.
Yeah. I actually, since you mentioned Joe Alt, I think one of the things that kind of captures my attention, in addition to obviously the quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, I think we all heard Jerod Mayo talk about when he was asked about, you know, where they might be leaning in the draft. He says, we're going to do a lot of research on a position that is very important to a franchise. I'm like, well, yeah, it would make some sense there for sure. And Jerod is a common sense type of guy. But Joe Alt not only being the first tackle, but we have two tackles go in the top 10, DJ, none of them named Olu Fashanu, who is in the first round. And we'll get to him here in just a little bit. But I remember being on the field in State College this year for Penn State game and talking to guys and scouts, bunch of scouts, obviously there. They have a ton of draftable players, as they do every year. And the consensus among, you know, the five or six guys that were standing there is that Olu was still the top tackle, even though he hadn't had the year that maybe we thought he was going to after a year last year where he might have been the top tackle off the board but decided to go back to school. So I guess my question to you, DJ, is why both Joe Alt and Talisi Fuaga at this point ahead of Fashanu?
Their tape was better this year. And I did Fashanu over the summer, and I thought he would, you know, I the grade I gave him before last year's draft, he would have been the first offensive tackle off the board. I did him over the summer. Did a little more work on him, again, all off of 22 tape. It was like I confirmed kind of what I believed. This year was not as good a year for him, and there was some stuff that popped up specifically in the Ohio State game, which was rough. He was on the ground a ton in that game. He got folded a couple times. You know, Buck, and you know when you're going through this and you write OTG on your paper, and then when you've put those marks next to it a bunch of times, that starts to worry you a little bit here. That's a balance issue. There's a little bit of tightness that showed up there. To me, I'm on a quest with him just to kind of figure out. I know he had a knee. I think he had a scope or something at the end of last year. I'm gonna use these next months to try and dig in on that and find out what happened, because to me, he did not look like the same player this year that I saw last year. So, and talking to teams around the league, and people, let me clarify that, because I think people will say, there no draft boards are set. You can't say this team has this player, that player. Oh. Let's put it this way. I talk to general managers all the time, a bunch of them. And when they tell me how they kind of have these guys right now, it's not a concrete statement, but when they say there's three or four other tackles that we like better than him in this draft class, and it wasn't like they were crushing him. There's just some other guys who played really well this year. So they're going to have these tackles in all different orders. I tweeted out the other day, like, we have 8 to 10 tackles that are potential first round picks. Like, there's a ton of them.
That was my overall.
Oh, it's loaded. It's loaded.
Yeah.
Loaded. And we'll get to a bunch of more of these names.
Yeah.
But they're going to have them in all different orders. And I'm anxious to learn more about Olu because, again, he was awesome in 22. He was not as good. The Michigan game was not great for him either. So those two games, they worried me a little bit. So that's on that one. The other thing I was going to talk about, Drake May versus Jaden Daniels. Mm. I do believe Caleb, just from an ability standpoint, has got some rare stuff. So I do think he's in his own class there. And people say, oh, the numbers, and you're going to see a bunch of stuff about how he played against better opponents. That's going to be a popular thing. I would just say when you go back and look at the tape, even when they're playing some bad teams, teams are getting pressure with three rushers. Like, they were not good up front, especially on the interior. He was under constant duress, which did lead to some of the bad habits that kicked in. But let's gamble on the ability here. The ability is off the charts with him. And then with Drake versus Jaden, Jaden's tape this year, Buck, was better than Drake's tape. Yes, Drake has what I saw last year and putting it together with what I saw this year. And different, it's a challenge in scouting to take people outside of their environment to say, okay, Jaden's throwing from a lot of clean pockets, Jaden's throwing to neighbors and to I've got him in my first round, Brian Thomas. Jr.
Yeah,
he's got studs, so he's in a better environment. But he played great. I mean, he played lights out to the point where I'm not saying that's in concrete for me right now. I'm going to let these guys travel together through the process. I want, you know, and really dig in and study them and kind of sort that thing out. But I ended up going with Drake, prototypical, the size, the physicality, the athleticism. He has a lot of tools in his bag. I think he can drive it a little bit more than Jaden can. But Jaden's tape flat out was better this year. So that's going to be an interesting debate.
Yeah, look, I'm all with that. And I think it's interesting. One, how big is the divide between Caleb Williams and the rest of the pack? Like, is it a significant divide or are they touching if it was the cards on the thing? Like, how did you have those guys broken up?
Yeah, there was a difference in grade there. I mean, to me, to be fully candid, like Caleb Williams, like on my scale, would be like a 6'8" grade. So that puts him at the top. Then Jaden Daniels was, I have him in like that 6'7" grade. So just one grade below him.
Yeah.
Whereas Drake May is the wild card. Like it's a 6'5" grade. So technically the 6'5" is below the 6'7" in Jaden Daniels, but a 6'5", it's just kind of complicated, but you can slot a 6'5" up or down. It's basically, for lack of a
better
phrase,
this also isn't a top 50, you know?
No. This is just a mock draft, but that is a boom or bust.
But so yeah, go ahead.
No, because like, so here's the thing, and here's always been the challenge, right? Like, so naturally you would have some allegiance to the Tar Heel, but I've said this all year. He didn't play as well this year as he did last year.
Yep.
And if we're doing it off of tape, if we're doing it off production and performance as opposed to potential, those other guys played better. I would even say Michael Penix played better. What goes in Drake May's favor is he's the prototype. Right.
Yep.
Size, arm talent, great kid, leadership, intangibles, all those other things check out in his favor. But if we're looking at the tape, those other guys are better performers. And so scouts have to kind of figure out where they are in the team building process, what they can put around him and those things before making a decision on whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels or any of the other quarterbacks in the conversation, because his performance doesn't equate to where his potential grade would put him coming off the board.
Can I give you one thing on that?
Yep.
And this is, I'll be totally frank and honest. There's always recency bias in scouting. Yeah. Okay. And there's always things that get stuck in your head. And when I look at this situation, and I got to be careful, I don't want to make a mistake on this, but I'm sure in the back of my head, even if it's not the front of my mind, I gambled on the undersized quarterback last year as my top pick. I had a prototypical guy in CJ Stroud right there with him, and I gambled. Yeah. Didn't work out. So now I've got Jaden Daniels, who now has put on weight. Now he's not like he was. I just, at Arizona State, he was 170 something pounds. Like he's put on weight. But Drake May is the prototype. So I'm sure, even though that's not like on my paper in my notes, I'm sure in the back of my mind, that's probably has an effect.
I'm with you on that, because everything last year, if we go back to last year, everything suggests that CJ Stroud should be the top guy based on the prototypical dimensions that have played in the league, all that other stuff, how we saw him play in the offense, he's from the pocket, all the thing. We didn't do that. So naturally, the next year, sometimes there's a tendency to overcorrect. And so it'd be interesting as we get down the line and we look at Drake and look, JJ McCarthy is going to kind of benefit from some of that prototypical size stuff that we'll talk about. Like, what do we do with all this? So it makes sense to me.
Last thing I'll say on this, I don't know, we'll move into the next batch of picks here from 11 to 20. But when you look at both those guys, I think there's some congruencies with players we've seen come out of at that position, come out of that those schools in recent past. I mean, like, you remember what happened with Sam Howell in Chapel Hill when he had all that talent was there, right? And we were talking about Sam Howell as a potential first round pick. Well, all that talent leaves and then he didn't have as great of a year and bam, he falls all the way down to the fifth round. Now, obviously that's not happening here with Drake May, but then, you know, you kind of think about how year to year production can ultimately affect how a prospect obviously is viewed. And then with Jaden Daniels, doesn't this feel in a way very similar to the way we talked about Joe Burrow in that
exploded in his final year
above average, right? Their first year on campus, you know, it wasn't great. And then, you know, had some great moments, certainly, but then exploded with massive talent right there on the outside and Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers. And, I think some of those kind of draft profiles, as you look back in history, are kind of interesting as well, as we follow both those guys here, Deej.
Yeah, and you guys brought it up. I mean, this is not my top 50 list. A mock draft, I do kind of more off of what I'm hearing and what I think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then I'll stack them up with how I have them in my top 50. And that is not, there's nothing. To me, I would say I feel pretty confident Caleb Williams, you know, unless I learn something along the way that I don't know at this point in time, probably going to go wire to wire as my top guy. Yeah. And then there's going to be a fight between these other guys and really kind of sort it out as we go along. But make no mistake, the tape on Jaden Daniels is really good. The one thing I would say in concern, there a couple times he gets the stuffing knocked out of him. I mean, he's got to do a better job of protecting himself. You can't play that pinball style of football at the next level. So that's something he'll have to work on. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. We'll jump in to pick number 11 and keep this train moving. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, guys, I'll rip off 11 to 20 here and then pick out where you want to go. 11 is Byron Murphy, defensive tackle to the Minnesota Vikings. 12 is Terrion Arnold, corner who I think is the best corner in the draft. Mm-hmm. He's an excellent player going to the Denver Broncos to pair up with Pat Surtain. How about that tandem? Honest with you, my nuclear mock that I was working on, I had him going fifth to the Chargers. And, you know, even with all those players there, because the Chargers are so bad. Okay. Yeah, so bad at corner. I thought this would be an option for them. But I didn't think the world was ready for that yet. But I think Terrion Arnold's got a chance to be a top 10 pick. Fashanu, here he goes off the board here to the Raiders at 13. Bo Nix, quarterback. It just swallowed hard to the New Orleans Saints at 14. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Brock Bowers, the tight end, is going to be an interesting discussion based off the talent versus the positional value. He goes 15 to the Colts. Troy Fontenot, or Fatanu, I'll figure that pronunciation out. I apologize, Troy. I'll get there. That is to the Seattle Seahawks at 16, someone who can play guard. It could be an all-pro type guard, but can play tackle if you needed to as well. They've invested in some young tackles. Quinyon Mitchell, a corner from Toledo. Get to know that name. He's going to run in the low 4.3s. He's going to test like a freak. He had a ton of ball production in 22. Wasn't challenged much in 23. He goes to Bucky's Jags, where they have some needs there. Cincinnati, J.C. Latham, a tackle who could be the seventh pick. I mean, he's, again, you shake up these tackles in whatever order you want, but the Alabama big tackle going to the Bengals. The Rams, I wanted to put a quarterback here, and I think there's a real chance they take a quarterback here.
J.J. McCarthy.
I would not rule that out. Yeah, you got J.J. McCarthy there as well.
What about Stetson Bennett?
I had him take.
They got Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, exactly. They could take a quarterback. Liatu Latu, edge rusher from UCLA, very talented. He was going 19 there to the Rams. 20, why not go shopping at the same store? The Steelers go back to Georgia. Last year, they got Broderick Jones, they got Donnell Washington, the tight end. Now they bring in Amarius Mims, and they're trying to build a big physical bully team there in Pittsburgh. So there we go, 11 through 20. Rhett, I'll let you have the first crack at this before Bucky gets to Bo Nix. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Well, that's where I was going. But
you can go there first.
But, let's go.
I mean,
let's go.
Yeah, let's jump right in because, I mean, are we talking about a better Taysom Hill here with Bo Nix? Is this I don't know if he's quite the athlete that Taysom Hill is, but I do think that's kind of interesting there. I mean, my question is, you know, if you're going to go with the Saints there, you know, why not Michael Penix? Why not J.J. McCarthy? How much better is Bo Nix at this point of the process than those two guys who will be down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, which I think is super cool to see them down there again, maybe on opposite teams for round three with Nix and Penix after their this year was really fun watching those two guys and their teams go at it up in the final year of the Pac-12. I think the Saints got to have one, whether this is it for Derek Carr or whether, you know, there's another year or two for Derek Carr. It does feel like the quarterback succession, we have waited far too long to figure out, you know, since Drew Brees has left and even before he was on his way out, that they needed to find someone to plug in there long term. So let's start there with that, Buck, with Bo Nix to the Saints. And then I've got some questions on Bowers, too, after that.
Okay, so here's what I'll say about Bo Nix and watching him for a long time in college, because he was in college for a long time. The experience.
61 starts.
Tends to matter.
6-1.
61 starts. And so if we're doing this and we talk about the quarterbacks that have had immediate success, throw C.J. Stroud out. But when people are looking at Brock Purdy, and even for it to a lesser degree, like Aiden O'Connell, guys that were older, guys that had significant experience, Brock Purdy particularly had a lot of experience, won a lot of games. One thing that we can say about Bo Nix is Bo Nix learned how to win impact big games while he was at Oregon. Took all of that experience, the negative experiences from Auburn, translated, played at a different level. I could see some intrigue about him because one thing we know, he's mature, he has great intangibles, he has enough talent, he's athletic to give you some of the off-scheduled quarterback run game stuff that you want. There's a lot to like about him. It's just, where does that value come in the first round? People talk about quarterbacks being pushed up. I can see that conversation heating up around Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and J.J. McCarthy as people try and sort out that tier of quarterbacks as we get closer to the draft.
All right, so I'll give you my Bo Nix here. Let's start with the A's. Let's start with the letter A and kind of where that is in his evaluation. And Bucky hit on some of it. I love the fact that he's been through adversity. And you could say the same for Penix, you know, when we talk about Penix. But I love that he's been through adversity. Anticipation, accuracy, athleticism, and we always point out the fact that completion percentage does not equal accuracy, ball placement. Ball placement is different than a completion percentage number. That being said, this dude completed like 78% of his passes this year. He was incredibly accurate. He processes extremely fast. He gets through things. The ball is out. It's where it needs to be. It's on time. It's accurate. I think his arm is going to be the big question mark. How much horsepower does he have in that arm? I'm going to get a chance to see him down there at the Senior Bowl, and I'll have an answer to that question. I have a feeling that the arm's going to be better than people think once they get a chance to be around him and watch him spin it. Rhett, you've probably seen him at Manning, I would imagine.
Yep, it's really good.
So I think he'll be able to spin it better than people anticipate. So now, with the experience, with all that he's got, he's ready to go. Now, we talked about Tua the other day. We talked about the Dolphins, and we said they built their team a certain way. That team was not built to go play in minus 30 degree wind chill. I don't think you're Bo Nix. I don't think if you're the, you know, if you're the New York Jets, do you take Bo Nix? No, I don't think he fits there. The New Orleans Saints, where we saw what Drew Brees did for his career in that building, in that environment, in that atmosphere, as an anticipation, accurate, quick decision maker. I've seen this episode before. And Drew Brees, somebody who played a lot of football in college, somebody who was very accomplished. So I don't use that lightly when I throw around the Drew Brees comp, but I think this guy, from an intelligence, maturity, accuracy, anticipation, athleticism, even is comparable to Drew. When Drew came into the league, he could move around pretty good. I like him. I think he's a good football player. He's not for everybody, but I thought in New Orleans, I think he'd be the best quarterback option that they'd have. I'm waiting for the pushback here. Where's the pushback?
No, well, I would say this because we talked about like your quarterback being built for the location. Okay, well, the benefit of Bo Nix playing in New Orleans, it's not only the games that he plays in New Orleans. So that's 8 or 9 that he's going to play inside. The Atlanta Falcons play inside. So now that makes us go up to maybe 10. Tampa Bay Buccaneers play outside, but it's warm weather. So now we're talking about 11 games in favorable conditions. And Carolina, depending on when you play them, he may play 12 games in controlled conditions where if the arm is an issue, it's not really a major issue. I believe this. People have talked about John Gruden not necessarily joining the staff, but kind of being around. To me, Bo Nix is a John Gruden type quarterback. And so if you're Dennis Allen, you're leaning on someone that maybe you regard as a mentor who is Derek Carr light because they have an affinity for Derek Carr. Well, Bo Nix could certainly fall into that category and kind of move up the charts as they're looking for someone to be the heir apparent to Derek Carr.
Yeah, I would touch on Rhett's question too here. I know you mentioned Brock Bowers. Bowers is going to be one of those ones where top 50, when my top 50 list comes out, probably going to be one of my top, 5 to 7 players in the entire draft. And then you just have to make that decision of where you are at the tight end position and how high you want to take a tight end. Because Kyle Pitts is the most talented tight end that I've ever evaluated and hasn't moved the needle for that team. Plus, with the cost of what you're paying that rookie tight end versus the top of the market of tight ends in free agency, it's not like you're getting a big savings. Whereas if I take a wide receiver up there, the wide receiver money, now we're pushing up to $30 million a year is where that market's headed. So now you're getting significant value if you get a wide receiver on a rookie contract versus a tight end, first round tight end on a rookie contract. There's less, I guess, surplus value would be the proper term there.
My question on that part was like, at some point, are we going to get too caught up in the tags, right? In those sort of distinctions with wide receiver, with tight end, like, could you make an argument for, and I know your grade's going to be higher on Roma Dunze than it is on Brock Bowers, but obviously at different positions. But could you make an argument that
I gave Neighbors and Brock Bowers the same grade. So that's a good comp there.
So he's right up in there, right?
So I have Neighbors going with the 6th pick. So and literally, like, kind of once you go down through the list, he gets to, I mean, really, I kind of have the same grades. Fuaga is like my last one there. So I would say he would probably be between Jared Verse and Fuaga, just like he's in that great in that range. So you're talking about anywhere from like 7 to 10 is probably where he slots in. Like you say, okay, he's a higher graded player than who I have going there, you know?
Yeah. And
here's the thing. The Lions are going to be a great example. The Lions built out the infrastructure, right? They built out the offensive line. They built out the defensive line. And then they had the quarterback in place. So guess what? Now you have that stuff in place. I can take Jahmyr Gibbs. I can take Jack Campbell. I can go outside the premier positions in the first round once the foundation's built. But I think it'd be hard to take the tight end if you don't have those foundational things in place, offensive line, defensive line, quarterback. I think those things, and even with Amon-Ra, they even had the receiver in place before they decided.
It struck on that in the fourth round. Yeah. I mean, not everybody can say that.
And the other thing, you talk about the tight ends. I think everyone is going to look around, much like we look at running backs. They're going to look around at the recent success of Sam LaPorta. Look at Luke Musgrave. I mean,
look at the quandary with Kyle Pitts up there high, right?
He's been a really good player, but they traded him.
So I think people may be the last consideration in the first round. You may look at other positions before you say, okay, let's go get the tight end.
Yeah. But that being said, if the Chargers took him with the 5th pick, hey, he's a great player. You've got your left tackle in place and Slater, you've got your quarterback in place and Herbert, depending on what they do with Bosa and Mac, they've got a lot of those premier positions in place. So that would be the team I would circle as a team in the top that would do Bowers. I would say the Chargers at 5 would be one.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
You would throw them into the mix there. Yeah. Cause they have those pieces in place.
I would say also in LA, I think the Latu selection to Los Angeles to the Rams is pretty interesting because this is what their first round pick in I don't know, a decade?
I know, forever.
It feels like, yeah. It feels like. But they have really hit on the day two picks in particular. Yeah. Day three, too, obviously, with Puka this year, but with Kobe Turner, with Byron Young. I mean, they have really started to nail those day two picks. And now you can go and with your first round pick and however many years it's been, you go get one of those blue chippers who we've been talking about on previous podcasts. There's a reason why edge guys go up early, right? There's a reason why we're talking about all these teams that are in the postseason right now that have gone heavy on the edge rush. And obviously, the Rams being a playoff team aren't going to be drafting up in the top 10. But to get, a high-end talent like that in Latu at 19 and a premier edge rusher and at a premier position, this totally makes sense and fits with how we talk about we like to build out rosters.
Yep. No question. But the other thing, I mentioned them with a quarterback. If you look at Shanahan and McVay as, kissing cousins in terms of what they do offensively, and you look at what Brock Purdy's done, do you think that's why, like Bo Nix to me, if he doesn't go there, I would think the Rams wanting to plan for the future and saying we don't have to play a guy right away. But you've already seen the test case. Like if you put Brock Purdy and Bo Nix on a field and did a private workout and went through all the stuff, I don't think it looks all that dissimilar, to be totally honest with you. And we've seen how efficient that offense can operate with
better.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Buck.
The other thing with the Rams, and you talk about like a Bo Nix or a type like that, because they've had so much success hitting on guys that are mature, Bo Nix is going to be all on that. You know what I'm saying? Like just a maturity standpoint, you think about Puka Nacua, how mature he was. That's going to be something that I think they begin to hang their hat on. We're going to make sure that we get the grownups in the room that can come in and handle all the things that come along with being a pro, and we can get that production right away.
Yep. And as we go through the rest of this list here, I do want to hit while we're talking quarterbacks. I don't have Bo Nix in here. I don't have J.J. McCarthy in here. And I'll give you the
You mean you don't have Penix?
Michael Penix.
Sorry. Yeah, Penix and McCarthy. So Penix, look, the semifinal game was amazing. We talked about it, just driving the ball, throwing seeds. Rhett, you've known him going all the way back to Indiana.
Yeah.
The reason I didn't have him in there, two-part. Number one, I want to learn more on the medical side of things with all the injuries that teams were concerned about. So I want to learn what the long-term looks like there from the injury standpoint, the durability standpoint. So I don't have that answered yet at this time. I will. So we'll get to that. The other thing is I want to see him at the Senior Bowl up close too, because the questions I have about him as a passer are some of the touch things, some of the up and over, up and down throws, I should say. Those second level touch throws, I thought he struggled to control that a little bit. The more that I studied him, the more that I watched him, everything was flat and firm. Like the wow throws are the skinny posts driving the ball deep down the field. Yeah. He throws a beautiful deep ball, the best deep ball in the draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, loft, beautiful. The up and down throws over linebackers, under safeties that require a
layered
touch. Layered throws, another great word. That's what I want to see. And that's why you go to an all-star game. That's why you do the combine. That's why you go to pro days, because you want to see these different, clubs in your bag, so to speak. I know he's got the driver. I want to see how he is just getting that ball up and down, Buck.
Yeah, it's a big part of it. And it's the lasting image, right? The lasting image that we have of Michael Penix is him kind of like trudging off the field, holding his ribs, looking like he's been beat to a pulp by Michigan's defense. And so what it did is it brings all of those injury concerns right back front of mind. And so if you're a scout there, if you're watching the TV copy, all that other stuff, it does remind you, hey, he's had a couple issues. Let's make sure that we're fully confident in that. And then because the game was so up and down and out of whack for a Washington offense that it kind of rolled through everybody, you then kind of want to kind of reserve judgment on how big of a grade you want to put on him until you can kind of get around him at the Senior Bowl and see some of the other stuff that you can't really see when you're just studying tape.
And on J.J. McCarthy, I haven't done enough on him yet to put him in there. So he was a late declare. I didn't think he was coming out, to be honest with you. I thought he was going back to school to the last minute. I've done a little bit on him, but not enough to feel comfortable enough to stamp him and put him in the first round. So not saying either of those guys, don't end up in there when it's all said and done, and not saying they won't have a prominent place on the top 50 when that comes out. But information I have right now, incomplete, didn't put him in there. All right, let's go through the remainder of the list here of this mock draft. 21 to the Dolphins. I had fun with this one. I said, screw it. Let's take Brian Thomas
Jr. Justin Jefferson.
Let's just take Brian Thomas Jr. and let's throw him in there with Tyreek Hill and Waddle. Right. Give him some size to go along with the undersized speed merchants, and he can fly too. I think it'd be a fun weapon to have, especially if they're going to pay Tua. I get another reason to make him look even better than he did this past year. Tyler Guyton to the Eagles, a tackle from Oklahoma. As they are getting to the end of the line with one tackle from Oklahoma and Lane Johnson, they go back to Oklahoma and they get Tyler Guyton. Chop Robinson, edge rusher, going to Houston. He's got big time juice. He's going to run like in the low 4.4s. He's a freak. So you put him in there opposite of Will Anderson, last year's first round pick. Jordan Morgan, Tyron Smith is aging and he's up from a contract standpoint. They get Jordan Morgan, tackle from Arizona. The Green Bay Packers have a type of offensive lineman they like. It's versatile guys who are intelligent. Graham Barton could play all five spots out of Duke. Had him going to the Packers. One of my favorite corners, Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri, going to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Cooper DeJean, the playmaking machine of Iowa, going to the Arizona Cardinals, who, again, I think he could play any spot in the secondary. And also give you special teams value. Devontae Walker, man, how about two Tar Heels going in the first round to the Kansas City Chiefs, the wideout, to team up with Rashee Rice, give them a nice 1-2 punch there of young players. Now we get to kind of the best available portion on the bottom of the first round. I have Newton, the DT from Illinois, going to the Buffalo Bills, who's got some pass rush inside. Nate Wiggins, who's going to be a really, really big-time tester, height, weight, speed corner out of Clemson, going to the Lions. Kool-Aid McKinstry, other corner out of Alabama. He goes 31 to San Francisco, who, you know, the question on him, he's going to need to run well. That's the concern with him in the evaluation process. The combine, the pro day will be big for him to just kind of alleviate some of those concerns. And then Troy Franklin, let's finish it up with another wide receiver. The Jeez. Baltimore Ravens, they are stacked in that room now with Zay Flowers doing what he did last year. OBJ doing his thing, and now you throw Troy Franklin in the mix, who can really, really go, as well as Bateman. So that would be a fun group there for Lamar Jackson. There you have it. That's Mach 1-0, boys.
Boy, let me just jumps off the page to me right now is Chop Robinson joining Jonathan Grenard and Will Anderson down in Houston. That is
I should have mentioned Grenard, by the way. He's coming off of a big year.
Yeah, I mean, just some serious juice right there. I mean, I've watched Chop Robinson wreck games. I mean, against big time competition, like the Michigan game, he almost ruined it for Michigan. Mm-hmm. And it's probably part of the reason why they decided not to throw the football Michigan in the second half, because Chop was destroying the right side of their offensive line. He's also one of those dudes that I view kind of like TJ Watt and kind of like Aiden Hutchinson, who can end a game. He's a closer at the end. Fortunately, I was on the wrong side of that. IU was on the verge of an upset, and he put an end to it at the very end with a strip sack, fumble. It was fantastic. He's just, I mean, major burst, major juice. Love that. And then I love that he's sandwiched in there between three tackles as you kind of get all that going. It might take three tackles.
I know. No kidding. What do you got, Buck?
I think it's interesting, right? When we talk about a draft that may not have like 22 to 24 true first rounders, to see so many skilled guys go, the combine would be the great separator for a lot of these guys, how they run, how they jump, what they look like catching passes, both guys, pass catchers and defensive back. So should be a fun thing to watch. Should be fun. They even redid the order for the combine for us so we can see it.
One last one for you here, DJ, that I saw in person was Jerzan Johnny Newton at Illinois. I think that's actually an interesting one there in Buffalo, because there is a little Ed Oliver there as like a smaller interior player that's got real juice, burst, quickness. I mean, you go watch that Minnesota game, the way he beats that right tackle and then chases the quarterback all the way off to the left side. Like, and I think he's got a little bit of that scheme versatility and where you can use him, you know, up and down the line, which will be pretty valuable for a team, especially down there at the end of the first round.
Yeah, no, he's a good football player. And again, that's when you start getting down to the bottom. You start just going, okay, who are the best available guys still out there and not so much need-based. Again, this is 1.0. We haven't got the free agency. There's a lot that's going to change. I'm going to watch a lot more guys.
This is it.
Lock it in. We'll see some other names get in here as I continue to work through the tape. But Buck, man, you're going to be up. You're going to be up next, man. So I'm looking forward to that one. It's interesting to see at the very top how that changes the dominoes. I just know, like, if I was going to go back to one more point, I was in that building in New England against the Chargers, and it was so dead in there. It was so boring. And they've seen so much good football over the years. And I'm like, they have to take a quarterback. Young, exciting quarterback. And that's why I think we're going to see three quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3 when it's all said and done.
Well, the funny thing, you talk about they need some excitement or whatever. Like you think about Jaden Daniels and what he does. If he plays the way that he played at LSU in terms of like the run pass threat, giving them some sizzle and some juice. Yeah, like that's something that they haven't seen. They haven't had an opportunity to see a dynamic player at that position. Despite all of Tom Brady's success, they haven't seen kind of like that new school quarterback kind of play in Gillette.
Yeah, and again, we'll see the you know, I think it's going to be a good fight, a good battle between Drake May and Jaden Daniels as we go, you know, through this entire process. We'll see how it all shakes out. One more thing, guys, I was going to tell you this. I had a recommendation to a person who's involved in interviews for these coaches and GM jobs. I was talking to someone who's been in the room and they're part of this decision group as they're trying to make this call. And I said, I think it would be very, you know, fan friendly. If like the dunk contest where you just hold up like a number, like number 9, 10, like the interview, like just give me like a number. That was 8-5 on that interview. And then we kind of followed along, you know, that was my contribution.
Yeah, we'll average it out from inside the room. You know,
You got the owner, the president, you know, whoever else is in there, just like 10, 10, 7. Oh, 7. He gave him a, he didn't like one of the answers in there. He only gave him a 7
Russian
on
judge.
That one.
Yeah, you got to take them out.
Yeah, the Russian judge. That's great. Anyways, I appreciate it. I hope you guys have enjoyed this one. This is officially the Move the Sticks podcast kickoff to draft season that we've got mock drafts out. Again, Bucky will have one next week. We'll have Bucky will have his top fives by position coming out in the future. I'll have my top 50 coming out in the future. And hey, to those who are patient, you will get the Rhett Lewis 1 and only 1.0 mock draft.
Coming.
He likes to wait to the end. He likes to wait to the end.
All right. He likes to wait to the end. He likes to wait to the end. All right. Appreciate you guys listening, and we'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.